We're in our third week on discovering and developing and deploying our spiritual gifts, and it's okay if this is your first week. We may have a few. That's fine, because we're going to talk through really today. We'll hit a little bit on the discovering side, but really what I did do is I went ahead and put some of the spiritual gift inventories on the table, just in case we had some people that might want to take it or take it home to somebody or would like to have another one. And so you have that there on your table for you. But really today what we're going to do is we're going to really hone in on not just discovering, which we spent 2 weeks, but now what do we do to develop our spiritual gifts? How do we grow in using them and then also deploying our spiritual gifts? How do we actually use our spiritual gifts, and what are some ideas, some ways, you know, and things like that? So that's what we're going to hone in on today, and that's what our lesson's about. Let me pray for us, and we'll jump in. Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. Father, thank you for each person here and how you, by your Spirit, have given each one of us a spiritual gift. We thank you, God, for your great love, and we thank you for just your great plan and how you desire and how by your grace you give a grace gift to further your kingdom and to move forward your gospel to Birmingham and to all the world. And we thank you that that is your heart and that is what you're doing. And Father, we do pray tonight that you would just take this time and you would speak to our hearts from your word, and you would encourage us and you would strengthen us and you would help us how to stoke our gift into flame and how to grow even more, and give us ideas on how we could even use our gifts in new ways, or to be encouraged in how we are using our spiritual gift. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Could somebody shut that door? appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Jim. So as we look at, thank you, developing and deploying our spiritual gifts. And not even your talent, is it? Hey, you did it. Thank you. So we talked through that God in His great plan has designed us, and we talked about this a little bit the first week, that before time began, we know according to scriptures, God planned and designed and fashioned us in His great plan. But that plan is really from then all the way for eternity, we're in that plan. And so really He designed it then, and then when we're born, He gives us a personality, He gives us certain talents even then, and then when we become a Christian, He gives us a spiritual gift, and then as we grow in Christ and as we grow as a person, He continues to mold and shape us into the image of Christ. And then we know at when we are with Him, either when Christ comes back or when we pass away and we're with Him, then He's going to perfect us and we'll be glorified in Him. And that's His overarching plan that He has designed and that He is doing. And so we are designed by God. And that's where spiritual gifts really do fit in. And as I said, every single Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And those who were here last week, I know, had the opportunity to share. Can you say hello? Hello. I just want him to talk, just to say something. Yeah, no problem. All right. From New Zealand, correct? Yeah. So anyway, that's why I wanted him to say something, you know. Thank you. I put you on the spot, didn't I, and embarrassed you? Okay. That's exactly right. I hear you. All right. And then as we look through our spiritual gifts, we are talking through discover, develop, and deploy, as I've already said. And you looked at last week, kind of the outline that Ray covered was that we discover our spiritual gifts through earnest prayer and through evaluation of God's Word, through actually are examining God's Word and then evaluating. And he covered some questions and some ways that we could do that, and then exercise or engaging, just doing, just ministry. We learn about our spiritual gifts, and we'll talk a lot about that today. And so one quote that I really like in this whole area of spiritual gifts or God's design and how He made us is something really important to understand. And from Francis Schaeffer, he said, "There are no little people and no little places in the kingdom. Those who think of themselves as little people in little places, if committed to Christ and living under His lordship in the whole of life, may, by God's grace, change the flow of our generation." You see, God's all powerful and God's immense, and God has a plan, and in His plan, each one of us, each one of you, have a part that He has decided is a key for you to play. And so there really is no little people, and there's no little places, because we have a big, big God that chose you to be a part of His great work in His eternal plan for His kingdom, and that just gives holy significance. Which, yeah, I did. Thank you. Yeah. My tendency is to go, okay, let me get out of this and correct it. But anyway, thank you. I'll tell my typist. It's me. Nobody else does these slides. So all the errors are mine. I'll claim them. It's not my talent. It's definitely not my spiritual gift. All right. So we're going to look at our study. Each week we've studied through a different passage in the Bible. You know, and we studied through that 1 Corinthians 12 key passage, and we studied through Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4. You know, so we've covered those three main passages on spiritual gifts. And today, with develop and deploy our spiritual gifts, we're going to study Ephesians 4. We're really going to study from 11 through 16 deeply and come back to that. But it's really hard to not begin with verse 1 when you get into Ephesians 4 because that's a transitional. Ephesians 4 is such a transitional chapter in Ephesians. And from your study, you probably remember and know that those first three chapters of Ephesians is God's great gospel and just the gospel blessings. And then chapter 4 is a transitional time, and the last three chapters is God's great gospel and the gospel imperatives, or how do we live out that gospel in our life. And that's where we find ourselves in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1. Let's look at it. I'll just speak a little bit about these first seven verses, and then we'll jump into verse 11 in a minute. Ephesians 4, 1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Just looking at it real quickly here, that in this verse it says, because of God's great gospel, because of the great gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His work and His amazing grace He's poured out on you, I urge you, I command you, I exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of that gospel, of that calling, of what Jesus Christ did in your life. You know, that you would walk according to that. That's what we're called to do, which we've been called. And then He gives us some help, some guidelines even in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, to make sure that, and with patience, that we walk with that. And that's really important as we think through developing and deploying or using our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. We need humility, you know. We need the Spirit of Christ gives us the characteristics of Christ, and all of these are. You know, He gives us humility, but we need to walk in that humility. We need to walk in gentleness. We need to walk in patience. And then it says, bearing with one another in love. You know, as we use our spiritual gifts as we interact together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we minister together, the better we know one another, I would say the more we're going to have to bear with one another on some days. I'm not going to have a great day every day of my life. No amen, Belinda. I don't have a great day every day of my life. Now, Belinda pretty much does. She's amazing. She is so patient and these characteristics are her. She bears them me in love. But we're going to have to bear with one another as we use our spiritual gifts. We're going to have to walk with humility and gentleness and patience. And also in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now this eager to maintain is like put every effort, take every effort, make sure that you do every, expend all you have to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's, unity of the Spirit is what Jesus was on his knees praying for you and me, that we would have that kind of unity and the church would have that kind of unity in the garden before he went to the cross. Paul's like, God's inspiring him now with us hearing this here, that we need to make sure that we are eager and persistent to maintain that unity of the bond of peace as we use our spiritual gifts, as we labor together in love, in the love of Christ. And then it goes on to say there is one body. And so that's that same one body principle that we've read in every passage we've studied, that we're one body. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're each connected to each other by the Spirit. We're inseparable for all eternity, okay? He has made us part of each other. There is no independent Christian. There just isn't. Jesus Christ bonds his people to one another, and we are part of his body by his one Spirit, by the Spirit. And we're called to that one hope. And then I'll just jump to verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each one of us. And he's poured out his grace on each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we know that measure of Christ's gift is immeasurable Christ's gift. And that's our salvation. And not only our salvation, but everything that comes with that. You know, Christ's great gift is our salvation, but it's bringing us into assurance and hope that we know without a doubt we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. We're never going to be apart from him. And we're going to spend eternity with him. And then that he's going to continue to perfect us. All those things that come with salvation and with justification always comes his sanctification, his redemption, and then his glorification. That's the great gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, let's look on in our key, kind of this key passage. That lays the foundation for 4:11 through 16. And I want us to go a little deeper even in this. I'll just read the whole thing, and I'm going to do just like I did then and just kind of walk through each verse for us tonight, because I want us to really dive into the scriptures on each one of our lessons. Verse 11, and he gave, that he is God, okay? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. There it is. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Lots here, but, and we're going to jump in and just talk through it. And he gave the apostles. Now this is the capital A. This is the apostles that Jesus Christ called to himself, the apostles which the scriptures, the foundation of the church, as the scripture says, the scriptures came through the New Testament. So he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, you know, so right there at the very beginning, he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, and through them, the word of God to us. So he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, and those have ceased, okay? Those were given to the church, to the movement of Christ, to the kingdom of God, to the work of God, and then he gave evangelists. Now, evangelists is a special role in the kingdom. God, it's a role, it's a service, and he often equips them, he always equips them with that gift of evangelism in order to be evangelists, but they would be, this is people who God calls to go in generally into places where the gospel hasn't reached or is very limited in its reach, and he gives evangelists to go in and to bring that gospel into that region or that area, and may even be a part of the city or a part of a country or a part, even here in the United States, where God just calls them and sends an evangelist with special gifting to bring the gospel and to convert people, to grant them repentance. So he gives evangelists. And then he says he gives shepherds. And this word shepherds is the same word for pastors or overseers. He gives shepherds and he gives teachers, those who God equips and calls to teach the scriptures through preaching and teaching in order to do what? Verse 12. So what are these given to do? To equip the saints. Now, who's the saints? We all know that, right? Who are the saints? That's right, us. Every single Christian that was ever saved, is now living, that has been coming to come to Christ, or that ever will until Christ comes back. So he has given these different roles for his church to equip us. For what? For the work of ministry. So his call to do the work of ministry, to use our spiritual gifts, is a key part of that ministry. So he's called you and I to be a part of his ministry work, his moving forward the kingdom of God, of showing and sharing the gospel of Christ. He's given these roles to equip us, the saints, for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. For building us up in Christ, and to build the whole body of Christ. And you sit there and go, okay, to build the body of Christ, it surely means individuals, but it also means all the body together, to build up the body of Christ. And we'll see that in a minute at the end of this passage and talk a little more about it. And then he says, how long? How long is this to be going on? Until we all attain the unity of the faith. Until we all attain that perfect unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we understand and know the wisdom and the understanding of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we reach maturity, to mature manhood, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, you sit there and you meditate on that and go, well, okay, until I'm with Jesus. You know, it's like, will we ever attain all of this? We're going to continue to grow in all this, but until we're with Jesus, or until he ushers in his, you know, comes back and ushers in his kingdom, Christians are going to continue to grow in these areas, and Jesus Christ and the Spirit is going to continue, and through these roles, he's going to continue to build us up in him. And then he says some benefits are starting there at verse 14. He's going to say, okay, you know, why to do this? And because you read, so that, okay, so that, why, or what's going to happen, or what are those benefits when we reach mature, you know, maturity in Christ, so that we no longer are children. We grow to maturity. We're no longer children. We're no longer tossed to and fro by, you know, the false doctrines or just wrong thinking of the world, worldly thinking. We're not up and down emotionally and mentally and spiritually. That's what he wants. He wants us to grow in Christ, and he wants us to not be that way. And he said, every wind of doctrine and by human cunning, craftiness and deceitful schemes, that we won't be, you know, tossed to and fro. But also, not just the negative, but the positive, rather, in order that we would do this, that we would be speaking the truth in love, that we would be speaking the truth to each other in the love of Christ. And then it says we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And so that is what we are doing. As we grow in Christ, then we are growing up in Him, into Christ. And then He says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So it's Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ that He has joined us all together, and He holds us all together, and there's that word again, He's equipping us, He's developing us, okay? He's equipping us, there it is again, He used it up at the front, and now again, He's developing us in Christ, our spiritual gift. We're to be developing that. We're to be developing and growing in the knowledge of Christ and using those things. And then it says, when each part is working properly. There's the deploying of the spiritual gifts. So as we use our spiritual gifts, as we are walking with Christ, as we are walking with the Lord day by day in trusting Him and walking with Him and doing what He's called us to do, then we're working properly together. And as we do, it says, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that's the whole context, that it makes the body grow. So it, not only do we grow to maturity, the body of Christ grows. The kingdom of God expands. The gospel of Christ grows in our city. The gospel of Christ grows in our state. It grows in the world. The body grows and it builds itself up in love. So that's just a great passage when you think about the whole developing and growing in our spiritual gift and growing as Christians, which growing in our spiritual gift is a key way of growing as a Christian. And then deploying our spiritual gifts, or using those gifts that God's given us for Christ and for His kingdom. All right, so 1 Peter 4:10, y'all studied that last week with Ray. I'll just read it because it falls right in line with this, and it's so succinct, and Pastor Rita preached on it last Sunday. So it just says this, as each has received the gift, because each one of us has received the spiritual gift and the gifts of Christ, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. All right, so let's talk a little bit about developing our spiritual gifts. All right, well, where and how do we develop our spiritual gifts? We've talked about discovering, and then we just did this great passage on developing and growing. The first thing is in team, or in biblical community, within the body of Christ. So we need, that's where we develop and grow our spiritual gifts, or using our spiritual gift, or how we grow and develop as a Christian, is in the body of Christ. And as our brothers and sisters in Christ, well, we'll just keep going, and I'll kind of put these together a little bit for us. Not only in team, but in training. So team, the body of Christ, and biblical community, but in training, or being equipped. We saw that, you know, we need to be with those who are the equippers, and what we read, what we hear, what we study. So to develop our spiritual gift, we develop it in training, in just being taught or being trained. I almost put another T of truth, the truth of God. And then as we look at that, because this one fits right in with team training and trainers, okay, is our mentors or our models, our teachers, those mentors. We all need to have mentors in our life, and those who are ahead of us in life that we learn from, pastor teachers like Pastor Reeder and others, and then other mentors that have similar gifts to us that are ahead of us, or that can encourage us in using our gifts to develop our gifts more for Christ and His glory. And then also models And models are generally thought of as those who have walked and they've run the race faithfully. They've already gone to be with the Lord. In a sense, those are really the models that I'm speaking of is who has done this faithfully? Who's gone before us that I can read or I can study or I can learn or I can, you know, listen to, you know, if they have some things recorded, I can listen to those. And just who are those models that I can study in my life? And I would say this, that it's so important that we choose our models and mentors, those who are equipping us, carefully. It's very important to make sure that we don't just listen to random, podcasts and other things of just, oh, that sounds interesting, and then we start listening to a lot of this. We don't even know this person's character. We don't know who they are. We don't, you know, now, it's so important to make sure we know who we're listening to and who we're following, because when a man's fully trained, he becomes like a teacher. That's what the scripture says. And so when we are listening, and those people are shaping us more than we could ever imagine. We're gaining, our minds are so amazing that as we hear and we hear this teaching and we get this training, and then those people are shaping our thoughts far more than we could ever imagine. So it's so important to sit under and to connect with and intentionally find other people. For me, you know, one of my spiritual gifts is leadership. In 1999. How many ever years ago was that? That's a long time ago. But in 1999, Pastor Reeder did a conference for Campus Outreach, who I was working with at that time. And, I mean, it was obvious he had the gift of leadership. And, you know, it was obvious that I was still very young in my leadership. And so after he, you know, spoke a little bit and he, you know, went to a lunch, and there were several of us just sitting around, and he let us asking questions, and he was just sharing with us. But after that, I asked him, I said, would you pray over something? Would you pray about being a mentor in the area of leadership for me? I just really believe you have that gift, and I've seen God using you. I would love to be able to just call you whenever I have a question or just, you know, he agreed. I was surprised because I knew he was a busy man, but he agreed. And this is years and years ago, you know, and he became a mentor for me in the area of spiritual leadership. And he let me call him. He let me, email him and ask him things, and, became a great mentor. Dr. Barker, in 1984, sat down with him and asked him about just how do you know if you're really called into ministry or not. And he, and then I sat down with Tom Cheeley as well, if you remember, Pastor Cheeler, and Dr. Barker is the one, the founding pastor of this church. And I asked him these questions, and he was so open. And then I saw him again later on and asked him another question. And, he said, why don't we talk? And he took out this little black book and, you know, wrote down a time I could come into his office and just ask him some questions. And he became a mentor, in my life of just godly wisdom, how to make decisions about just life, and was always there and was a prayer warrior for things in our life and my life and our marriage. And but others, and you probably have those, but I just told you two of mine. God, I would say, if you don't have those mentors, make sure you find them and the models in your life, because we learn and we develop in our spiritual gifts. Find people who are strong in those to sharpen you and develop you by team training and trainers. And then what about deploying our spiritual gifts or using our spiritual gifts? What's some principles there? Well, I would say you use your spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. We just saw that all in Ephesians. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12. We saw that, you know, every one of these passages tell us that we're to use our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. I would say that we're to bloom where we're planted. You know, God has put you here where He's put you in your local church. That's where you would want to see, how do I use my spiritual gifts? And I want to use them here in the ministries and in the life in my Sunday school community or in my small group or just in the choir or in whatever area I'm at. I want to use my spiritual gifts there because that's where God's called me to be. And then God may also use you with the church at large. You may have certain spiritual gifts where you're sharpening and other people in other local churches around in this area, and some of you maybe even internationally or globally. God may call you to use that, like, you know, think of Johnny Erickson Tata or others that just have amazing gifts that God, they didn't know it, but God just started using them in a way like that. And we can't limit what God would do. And so we want to use it in the body of Christ. We also want to use it for the kingdom of God. I want to say this again. 2 weeks ago said something to this effect, but God doesn't give us a spiritual gift to build our own kingdom. He just doesn't. He didn't give us a spiritual gift to make a name for ourselves. He doesn't. He gives us a spiritual gift to build His kingdom and to be about His purposes. So we use our spiritual gift with the mindset, and so that moves us to pray. It moves us to seek Him. It moves us to ask God to give us spiritual eyes of understanding. How do I use my spiritual gifts for Your kingdom? It may be giving a cup of water in Jesus' name. Jesus thought highly of that, didn't he? You know, to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, and to minister mercy. You know, said you had gifts of mercy, and, you know, to use those gifts of helps and to use those gifts of service, whatever that is, but using it for the kingdom of God. We got to have that mindset and understand that's what God's called us to do, to deploy our gifts. And likewise, for the glory of God. Again, not for our glory. God didn't give us a spiritual gift to feel good about ourselves or to build our self-esteem. That's not what it's about. It's about building His glory. It's about reflecting His greatness that He already is. And He wants to reflect that through our life as we use our spiritual gift and His name for His glory, not for credit, any credit to ourselves, but all to the glory of God. And then we have to, another key thing in deploying our spiritual gifts is we have to take the initiative to just do something, to just use it. You go, you know, I'm not really sure, but just do something. You know, just go do something. And pretty soon either somebody will tell you, yeah, you might want to do something else, you know, or, you know, your best friend, I hope they do. Or you'll go, yeah, I didn't really enjoy that. That was a bummer. You know, well, if you didn't really enjoy it and you wasn't very effective at it, I can guarantee it's not your spiritual gift. Okay? That's not it. God, when you use your spiritual gift, God gives us a spiritual joy. God gives us a sense of that He used us there. And also there's fruit. There's fruit from it. Our spiritual gift. When we use it, And it builds up others, you know, it encourages them or it encourages the Word or it moves them towards Jesus. And then we know that that's our spiritual gift. So in deploying our spiritual gift, just do something. Don't wait. Don't wait for somebody to ask you to use your spiritual gift. No, nobody's really asked me. Okay, just go do something. Don't wait on somebody to ask you in the church. Take initiative. Go use your gift. Find somewhere to go. Just do it. And just volunteer. People are starving for volunteers around, especially right now. Doing something. Just go do something. Go find somebody that needs something because there's so many needs out there. So take initiative. Use your spiritual gift. All right. Well, our concluding thing to kind of overview this whole section of the last 3 weeks. So some of this you'll go, this sounds familiar. And all this is on your sheets. So I wanted to make sure you had it. If you'd like to just listen or if you like to write notes, or everybody's different. That's why I got it up here. That's why I'm speaking. But anyway, let's look at some principles. And this is overviewing, discovering, developing, and deploying. It's kind of all mixed in. But these are some principles of things to do and things not to do. Okay? Especially as we use and deploy our spiritual gifts. Some things to do. Embrace your gift with thankfulness, humility, and confidence. It's not being humble to not embrace your gift, okay? So embrace your gift. That's what God wants you to do with thankfulness. He's the giver of all gifts. He's the giver, and so we thank Him with humility, but with confidence. We need to embrace our spiritual gift. And then exercise your gift in the body of Christ, in concert with others, to build others up in Christ, equipped, to make sure that you are equipped to use your spiritual gift for the glory of God. Take initiative to be equipped, and then excited. Be excited for others and their spiritual gifts. You know, make sure that you, when you see other people using their spiritual gifts, let that give you joy as well. You know, don't fall into ever where you are not excited about other people using their spiritual gifts. They have theirs, we have ours. And so we also want to not only be excited, but encourage others when you see them using their spiritual gifts. Give them a word of encouragement. Give them a text. Write them a note. Give them a call. And just let them know how, you know, God used their gift. Maybe it was in somebody else's life. Maybe you just saw it. But let's encourage one another. That's what the scripture says. Encourage each other day by day, as long as it is today. That's the Bible. So encourage others in using their spiritual gifts, and just share with them some way that was impacted you or others, or how you saw God use them. And that will really encourage them or build them up in Christ, as Ephesians has told us to do. Well, here's a few things not to do. We cannot compare ourselves to other people or compare our gift to theirs. You know, God would not have us to ever be walking around comparing ourselves, because that's self-focused. We need to be Christ-focused and other people-focused, not self-focused. And if we do fall into this, then it brings envy. It can bring envy about their gift, or maybe it can bring pride. You know, look at me, I got a better gift than he does or she does. You know, it could bring pride, it could bring envy, it could bring discontent. And those are things that Satan would like us to have, and God says, don't have that in your life. So let's not compare ourselves with others. Also, we got to be careful not to exalt one gift over another in our own minds or in our thinking. Out of those 17 gifts, and there could be 20-something gifts, there could be 30. I don't know how many gifts there are, but we know there's at least 17 that we can see from the scripture in our little booklet there. But we don't need to put any one of those gifts in our mind thinking, well, these four gifts are up here and these are in the middle. You know, this gift, it's okay. No, every gift is from God, a perfect God, a perfect Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit says all of them are up here. All of them are holy from the Lord. And so we don't need to exalt another gift, like the church at Corinth exalted one gift over others. And, you know, they were getting corrected. That's really where 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 are there to correct them in their church. And we don't need to do that either. And then ignoring, forsaking, or rejecting your gift. We need to make sure that we use it, use our gift, and we never ignore, forsake, or reject our gift. And then, this is another trap I see people fall into, is having a wrong assumption about what their gift is, and being deceived about what their spiritual gift is. We need to not fall into that. You know, that sometimes we just kind of are attracted to a certain gift and we're like, well, you know, I think that's my gift. you know, whatever it is. And we need to be careful not to have an assumption that this is my spiritual gift. But again, I would find people that know you well. I would also, so you do that personal evaluation, and also getting feedback from other people that you really love and that you'll trust their feedback, and ask them to affirm that. We need inward and outward calling on using our gifts, and so I would, don't fall into that. And then don't judge others and their gifts and how they should use it. You know, don't be, there's only one judge, and that's the Lord God, and, you know, we're not Him. And so we're not to judge others and think we know how they should be using their gift. We should be praying and asking God to show us His gift. And similar to that, we don't need to have overemphasis on a gift or you not having a specific gift. What I mean by this is, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I just don't have the gift of mercy. And they kind of say it kiddingly, and they think it's, you know, they kind of like, yeah, I just don't have the gift of mercy. And maybe they had just said something that was very sarcastic, or, you know, maybe it hurt somebody's feelings, and but they're kind of making light of it. Well, and other people may go, yeah, I just don't have the gift of service. I know there's a lot of people that do. They'll take care of that. maybe God's going to call you to do something not in your gift. Guess what? He will. You know, I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I'm to share my faith. You know, I don't have the gift of mercy, but I'm to be merciful as our Lord is merciful. He tells me in the scripture, you know, I don't have the gift of service, but I'm to serve as unto the Lord. We all are, you know, so we're all to be walking with Jesus and doing these things. We don't need to ever come and go, well, that's just not my gift. We don't, that's a crutch and that's a wrong way to think of the Christian life. But we do need to be using our gift. And likewise, we don't need to go, you know, well, she's got the gift of hospitality or he does. I'll let them do that. Well, maybe God, again, called you and wants you to host that. You know, in fact, if you thought about it, there's a good chance he may. You know, if you heard it in that light and nobody's raising their hand, guess what? He may want you to do it. And so we need to be careful not to judge others or to overemphasize a gift. And then project your gift on others. We need to make sure that we don't project our gift on others. And again, we can fall into this, and it can make us really frustrated. Say you have the gift of service, and all of a sudden you just see there's a need, a serving need. And you know, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? I mean, and then you go and you help, but they need 10 more people and nobody's there and you're getting frustrated. Well, maybe God showed you that because you had the gift of service and now you got to go help the body of Christ, do the work of Christ. That's what this is about. And go do that. Or the gift of mercy, same thing. You know, you have the gift of mercy and you see mercy needs and you're doing those. Well, we need you to tell us because we don't see them. We need you to help us. And so everybody's not called, everybody isn't a hand or everybody isn't an eye, everybody isn't a foot, or maybe you have the gift of administration and you can go to an event and you see five ways to make it better and it can easily come down to where you have a critical spirit because you're like, you know, could they not think about like they could have two lines instead of one? That could have really helped. We wouldn't be sitting here 30 minutes and you're kind of like getting a bad attitude where it's like, you know, you might want to just come alongside and go, hey, I'll help you with the next event. And you give those four or five ideas and they're like, great, thank you. I never would have thought about that. And so we just have to be careful not to project our gifts. Say you are a good teacher and you think, well, everybody in here could do that. No, they can't. You know, she's got this gift, he's got that gift, and you have that gift. And we all are not to project our gift on that person. That's why we're a part of the whole body. Well, in our spiritual gifts, this kind of concludes our 3 weeks on it. We discover our gift, develop our gift, and deploying our spiritual gifts. And those are my thoughts on those things. And what I did is I put some discussion questions around at your tables, and I'd encourage you now to just take a few minutes and look at those discussion questions. I did three, and they're pertaining just to this lesson. So you can look on the notes on the other side of it and talk through that a little while. And hopefully and prayerfully, God will take this and take a little deeper into our life. Let me go ahead and pray again for us. Father, thank you again for this time. And do pray that now you'll bless our discussion time and that we would be encouraged to develop and grow in Christ, grow using our spiritual gift, and then also how to use it, how to deploy it. And pray that this fellowship around the tables will be used to sharpen us even more. We never get to the point we don't need to continue to grow in Christ and grow in using our spiritual gifts and even new ways we could use them. And just pray that you would sharpen us and encourage us right now. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys, I'll go ahead and call us up. I don't know if everybody had opportunity to go through all three, but that's not intended that everybody gets through all three. It's that we have good conversations and that it encourages and sharpens you. So let me just ask a couple questions so everybody can kind of learn the cross-pollinization from the table to table a little bit. So when you talk through these questions or at least how far you got, what are some of your ideas that you had that you have found out helped you know how to use your spiritual gift to deploy it, or ideas you have that you could really do that? You know, what are some of the things that y'all've learned or that your ideas that you have and how to really use your spiritual gift? I'll let you just share that from what y'all either shared, or if you didn't get there, you can just share openly. That's what you heard. That's good. I like that. That's great. You know, Ray, as you were sharing, I was reminded, and I don't know if Ray covered this last week, and I probably would have if I would have been here, but I may not have. I don't know. But when we go back to the first week, in that 1 Corinthians 12 passage where, you know, it says that for, in verse 8, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance. Well, let me back up and go up above that. I was at the wrong place. All right. For, let's see here. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God. And as you, the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And as you were sharing, you know, when we think through that kind of our calling and our spiritual gift, someone could have a spiritual gift of teaching, but they're really, their activity or their service is small group. And so they teach more in a small group context. Other people, their service and activities or how God's going to use them in the body is from a podium like this. And then somebody else is more one-on-one, even counseling and advice, you know. And, you know, and it's the same thing, say, in evangelism, you're the way God made you and gave you the gift of evangelism ain't going to look like Bob's way, because Bob's Bob and, you know, you're Ray and we're all. And so your evangelism may be, you know, more personal in heart or something where you really, you know, and his may be more apologetic oriented. Or and then this other person may have the gift of evangelism like Billy Graham, and they just share the gospel and thousands come to know Jesus. But that's not. Everybody has a different way that God uses our gift. And so thank you for bringing that up. I meant to kind of connect those dots for us that, you know, our way that God uses our gift to find joy in that. And I'm so glad you shared that and that you processed it so well and just say, well, God gave me evangelism, but I don't have to do it like Bob. You know, that was a good point. Okay. Somebody else have something else on either developing your spiritual gift or deploying it that stood out to you in your conversations around your table, or that God just kind of put his finger on tonight? Amen. I do. I do. That was good. Good point. So good. Well, thank y'all for speaking up and sharing. This is great. I'll go ahead and close this out. But I want to close this out by making a point to notice your growth work, and, you know, yes, it's homework, but it's growth work. It's growth work. If you would like to, next week we're going to spend 2 weeks on personality. And that's another gift that God, in a sense, has really given us, is our personality, our makeup, who we are. We're going to use a simple little, you know, and if you joined this church, you took a DISC temperament survey. That's what this is. Do notice the little, this isn't geared towards you taking in view of your work. This is really trying to get at what is your basic God-given personality. So think of a comfortable place or how you were when you were growing up. And so what we want to get at is more of your, you know, not your skill set that you've developed to operate like, but more of your God-given temperament or personality. So it tells you on the little introduction on page 1 kind of how to take it and what to think through. And then this one could take you 10 minutes, could take you 25, depending on what your personality is. So, you know, it may take you 7 if you're a D. If you're a C or an I, you know, you may get in, you know, start talking to people if you're an I, and it may take you a while, you know. So anyway, it's just, it won't take long though. And I'm going to talk through this and talk through just personality for 2 weeks, and we're going to talk through how that really intersects with how our temperament and our spiritual gifts interact. And that's really a good little conversation. And that's because we have to keep in mind that we have a spiritual shape or a design. And every one of these five areas come together in our makeup, you know, our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, which are our talents, our personality, and our experiences. So the goal in this 7 weeks is to talk through every one of these at some level. We're putting weight on spiritual gifts 3 weeks. The next weight, you know, will be on personality, because I think people get confused between their personality and their spiritual gift and want to make sure that's not confusing. And then comes talents and abilities. We'll do that. And then the last week, we'll combine the last two. All right. Hey, Michael, will you close us in prayer? Thank you.